seems like you can have to go read from me. Right? Ella was upstairs. yes, I'm going to speak about the observational limits on Kapanikovsky field theory. String theory and quantum gravity provide arguments for in favor of non-commutative space-time, which where the coordinates of the space-time are non-commutative operators, the combinator of which is generically an anti-symmetric tensor. And in the general case, the more general case, this tensor is has a Taylor expansion. And the space-time coordinates. I guess the most famous example of this is the so-called non-theta commutativity, most famous from the string theory, where only the constant part of this tensor is non-zero. Here we will be considering the Kapanikovsky space-time, which is a very particular case of this arising in loop quantum gravity, where only the linear part of this expansion is non-zero, further has a very specific form. So this is the linear part of the tensor, and on order for it to be the inflation has to have this form, where a mu is a kind of preferred direction. It has to have only the zero component non-zero. And it has this form only in some specific frame of reference. So the most common technique for analysis of non-commutative field theories is this so-called Cyber-Putin map, reflects a non-commutative theory on a theory in regular space-time endowed with the so-called star product, which is a non-commutative associative operation. And this star product encodes all the non-commutativity operation from the all non-commutative information from the original non-commutative theory. So this is an example of this. Generally, it has an expansion of small parameters of the commutator. And so this is an example where it always has a zero over the usual commutative multiplication and then some generically some exponential parts. So this star product basically is all we need to know in order to construct a theory, an effective theory on regular space time. So in a general case, the non-commutative theories built on such space time together with this commutator relations are invariant under the quantum concurrent loop. Seven wave map provides us with an effective theory on the regular space time, ordinary space time. And the effects on the non-commutativity of the effect of the Lagrangian level appears some generated higher dimensional operators, and those explicitly break the Lorentz invariance in its usual sense. So, in the literature, there exists different formulations of Kapanikovsky field theory, and so here the the other. So Kiersky, etc., which is one of the founders of the Kapunikovsky theory, provides us with the action for a real scalar field in this form. And although it modifies the dispersion relations, it's heavily suppressed by the ultraviolet scale, which Kappa is usually, in quantum gravity, Kappa is usually associated with the Planck scale. So Wes, Dmitrievich, et cetera, in their formulation, give another treatment where the Kappa Lagrangian has another form, and the modification has a slightly different form, which also is not observable, because at the effective field theory level, the Dalgrishna operator immediately gets converted to mass of the particle, which is much lower than the ultraviolet scale. After Dale, et cetera, give another formulation for a free complex scalar field. And their treatment, Lorentz invariance is not broken at all. So the directions go as powers of the Dalgrishian. And therefore they escape any direct experimental searches. So we notice that the free field theory level, it's not possible to capture any effect from the non-commutativity. And this is a quite common feature of the non-commutative field theories, that at two point function level, it's not, it's quite often possible to hide away the effects of the non-commutativity. One can arrange the theory in such a way that the effects do not show up. But of course, our world is interacting, and obviously, interacting theory, the modified interactions can propagate into the two-point functions, for example, at the loop level. Or as we would be considering a tree level, in a sense, a tree level for composite particles. So we started with the Newton's Wess's gauge theory with the U1 gauge filter on top of Minkowski spacetime. And Wess extended the motion equation variance to on the non-commutativity. And the first order in the Kappa correction and Lagrangian looks as a normal PED, so this normal PED, plus some correction in small parameters, C is functional to level Kappa. So basically, this is. Phenomenologically, this is one of the same operator here, so that's what's important. And the original non-linear QED version, there are other terms which are proportional to, which have explicit exporting independence in the action. However, this hybrid Boolean map is always ambiguous in the sense that the theory, the effective theory is not fixed completely, and there is a number of parameters. And by improper choice of these ambiguous parameters, one can put this exponent terms to zeros. We can use this choice for convenience only, it's not very important for our purposes, just not convenient because of the action is compatible. Uh, So this is the operator, which is the modification of the QED, and it's not you see that it's not difficult to see that an effective observer level vanishes on equations of motion, so it doesn't lead to an effect in free theory on replacing the long Bermudez cube of original space-time gravities. But for an interacting theory, obviously the effect is not zero, and it's therefore proportional to the field strength here, the dual field strength action. So this is a dimension 5 operator, which explicitly breaks Lorentz invariance. And that in early work, we treated all dimension 5 operators in QED as well as in standard model. And most of them are odd with CPT symmetry. This particular operator is even under transversal and odd conjugation. So it has the same quantum number, CPT quantum numbers, as the current. And therefore, for example, at the loop level, it can mix with dimension 3 current operator, which does not really pose much of a difficulty. The actual current, which actually would be a difficulty in electrodynamics, is protected by C and P parities. So this operator cannot propagate into the actual current. But in the standard model, parity is violated, so this kind of mixing is possible. And that's where one can grasp an observable signature. So we go ahead and generalize this operator to the standard model in a unique way. So, for example, it works here. And as a result, we have two operators now with gamma 5 and without gamma 5. So this one, again, it has the same quantum numbers as the regular current, but it's not, it does not cause a problem because it can be considered just as a constant addition, for example, to the U1 and, for example, W3 VH fields. So it is not a physical effect in a sense. This operator, however, mixes to the actual current, and then it is a problem because it produces a decoupling of the actual current to the external direction. And this is a really well constrained signature. So, for example, on the loop level, one plugs it into the warp property here. Sagittarians are quadratically divergent, and therefore they are highly sensitive to the ultraviolet scale through the cutoff scale. And, so we leave the problems of the loop level aside, and instead concentrating on the tree level effect for nucleons. So for nucleons, the matter element of this operator average of the nucleon is expected to produce the actual current for the nucleon times some coefficient, which has to be dimension 1 squared, because this is inverse mass. It's obvious that it has to be proportional to the nucleon mass scale to give an estimated order of magnitude of this coefficient, or maybe it's the reference of dominance model. and obtain around the order of 10 to negative 4 GeV squared for the case of the neutron. We do this for the case of the neutron because it's a neutron actual current, which is the government of which is highly constrained by the bulk comparison experiment. So the special component of this vector is restricted to less than 10 to the negative 31 inverse GDP. And so it pushes, if A is the inverse non-commutativity scale, it pushes it to, considering this is 10 to the negative 4, pushes it to 10 to the 27 GeV level. If one takes a conservative point of view that only the zeroth component of this vector is non-zero and it's proportional, it's a kappa inverse. And still, the vector component, which is constrained here, is induced by the Lorentz loop in due to the motion of the Earth relative to the referred background, CV, for example. So, in the most conservative case, one has the constraint of the scale of the non-commutativity pushed further than 10 to the 24 GeV. And this is a clearly a natural noise problem because originally kappa is assumed to be of the order of the Planck scale. So this is the main result. A few words of discussion. So we showed that the low energy experiment is sensitive to, is highly sensitive to kappa non-commutativity. And even without involving any ultra-high energy cosmic rays, it's possible to constrain the high level. And this constraint is very serious problems for the effective coupling across the theory. And we can, for this purpose, we consider the U1 pH theory and general relative to stay on talking more generally, at 2.4 functions, the effects are not able to be captured. In a more general setup, the effective theory always depends on the definition of the star product. And in case of, for example, Lorentz field, et cetera, star product has the following form. With the correction of this form. However, the for complex field, the complex conjugation, permission conjugation is defined in such a way that this contribution cancels and the result ends up to be totally Lorentz invariant for the free field theory. In the case of red vs, the star product has a slightly different shape. But again, as we saw, the effects are of the non-commutativity are very, very amusing. And of course, as we have seen, for interacting theory, for interacting theory, one kind of can get rid of Lorentz breaking completely. In a theory or which is initially kappa invariant, kappa Poincaré invariant, an effective level, the interaction, the two point function interaction appears which wasn't present in the original theory. Also important conceptual results are that there is a dependence, explicit dependence of the reference frame because this vector has this appearance only in some specific frame. And the theory, the effective theory is sensitive to the kappa parameter in a sense that different values of kappa in general correspond to different values of this the strength of this coupling, for example, and therefore the theory depends on the coupling.
I'm a little bit confused regarding the how we define the CP and P operators. This is like a deformed framework, right? So you start with Kappa Minkowski, you start with a Kappa Poincare symmetry, and then at that level you have to define CP and T operators on your theory. And if Poincare symmetry is deformed, then I'm not sure the CP and T operators we're talking about exist, or I don't even know what kind of place they play in that framework. Then from there you can do reflective theory game and so on. So it's a little bit one must be a little bit careful.
Well, I'll say that after you have used the cyclic Witten reflection, you really have an ordinary quantum field theory. So you can, at this point, you can forget about when you can be at all. You just have a bit of theory, series of bidimensional dimensional corrections to the action. And this is a theory in regular space time.
Sure, but then you're still starting from a deformed framework. You're saying that basically you must have some deformed CP and T operators, and then the cyber-weak map lets you back to standard ones. So it's,
we don't look at them at the Kappa Minkowski theory level.
So you're not testing Kappa Minkowski then. You're testing some standard field theory with Lorentz breaking terms.
Yeah, but that's what it ends up being.
There are other things besides the Lagrangian quantum field theory. For example, in Kappa Minkowski frameworks, you can have like deformations of the Fock space of the theory due to the fact that you have no trivial structure over there. But yeah, that's not necessary. So I'm saying like maybe you're testing something different than Kappa Minkowski quantum field theory or Kappa Minkowski QED.
Well, I think that as long as the cyber-Witten map works, correct.
That's just a mathematical tool, though.
If it doesn't work, then yes, I think it needs to work.
It's sort of my question. I understood a few words of the talk in experimentalists. What observations do you need to help decide if this works? Because to me, that is what matters. Some aspect of theory that doesn't matter if it works.
So this is the claw comparison experiment, which we work with two noble gases and then measure the strength of the coupling of the nucleon actual current, nucleon spin to the external preferred direction. We have immense precision. Very high precision.
So there's no improvements needed on that.
No, what?
There's no improvements needed on the observations. It's purely.
It's an existing experiment. It is improving, I guess, with that slowly. But even at this level, it's very sensitive.
Next speaker.